When we come back, we're going to hear from Tekla Waterfield. Now, do you remember her? She appeared at the Juno Folk Festival. Pretty much the fans there watched her grow up on the stages of Centennial Hall, and that happens a lot in Juno, one of the beautiful things about the festival. But she and her husband, Jeff Fielder, have released a new album, Trouble in Time. And yeah, it's a COVID chronicle, but it's also music that Jeff and Tekla say is meant to heal. So when we come back, Tekla and Jeff will talk about their latest passion projects. Now, this is one of their new songs. It's called Thief. Welcome you back to Juno Afternoon. One thing that we didn't get to mention in our last segment about this virtual gallery of videos that was produced through the Juno Cares Act is that you can find them on a virtual gallery. It opens up tonight at the JAC website. So you can go to that, the Juno Arts and Culture website, and find that. So it's a big day. They debut once again. And I tell you that it's another big day for a singer-songwriter named Tekla Waterfield. She and her husband, Jeff Fielder, released their album today. It's called Trouble in Time, and it's a collection of songs that is kind of like a bridge over troubled waters, the troubled waters of COVID. And although Tekla and Jeff now live in Seattle, they both have Alaska roots. In fact, Tekla grew up in Juneau, and her mom is Fawn Waterfield. She lives here, and she is a well-known musician herself, so it must be a very proud day for her as well to have her daughter and her son-in-law's album come out. But earlier this week, I talked with Tekla and Jeff about this album, you know, which really turned out to be a huge musical labor of love, how it all began. And apparently, it started out as a retreat on the shores of Puget Sound.
So we got invited to participate in this artist residency at Doe Bay out on Orcas Island in Washington. Beautiful setting, water everywhere. And we were asked to stay for a week and we were provided a cabin and food. I mean, it was just the perfect, and especially at that time when we'd been stuck and everyone's freaking out. And we got to just have this opportunity to just go be somewhere away from our home and get out and be in nature. I said, can we please, can we bring a little recording gear and just start work on this album? I think we should start it. And then as soon as we started thinking about it, we're like, you know, I think this could be a whole album, not just like, I mean, there's enough material.
Yeah, and we recorded a lot of Tekla's vocals that are on the record in this little cabin, basically, by the Puget Sound. And it informed the rest of the project because that was a very calm atmosphere. The record starts with birds and rain, and that's actual birds and rain from outside the door. I stuck the mic out the door and just let it run for 6 minutes. It's like we're jamming with the birds. It really is.
Well, which cut is that where you're jamming with the birds?
That's the first one. It's called Let There Be. It starts the album.
Oh, okay. So we need to hear a little bit of Let There Be.
Thing, and it's more about the art than about, oh, we're going to make something commercially viable that's going to get us a whole bunch of money and get a spot on a football ad or something. That's not why we make music. We make music because we feel like we're artists, we're creators, and we want to use it as a way to create something that we care about and that has meaning to us and then hopefully has meaning to other people. So that's what we're thinking going into it. And I think you kind of go into this vibe. It's kind of like we're also ADD in a way now. I feel like it is the kind of album that hopefully you would be able to really attentively just kind of sit and soak it in and just be present. I've had friends tell me that they listened to it and it gave them that emotional release that they needed because of how heavy everything's been this year, and just was like, thank you. Like, this was like therapy. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that the songs, well, I think that they just came organically. So it wasn't really, there was an intention there. It just like they were written about what was happening, but what was intentional was the presentation of it. We wanted it to be quiet. We wanted it to be calm and not preachy or not like trying to say that we have any of the answers or anything like that. And then also not trying to be too bombastic or anything like that. So it's a very mellow, thoughtful kind of vibe.
I'm just really curious, where am I talking to you from right at this moment?
We're in a district of Seattle called Beacon Hill, which is kind of South Seattle, near the airport.
And so what kind of a abode do you have in glamorous Seattle?
Yeah, it's so glamorous. We're very lucky to have moved into this house. It's a cool house. We moved in here April of 19. So about a year later, we're very happy to live here because we lived in a kind of a small apartment in the other end of Seattle. And if we were quarantined in there, there wouldn't be any record. We wouldn't be talking to you right now. It's just like a whole thing.
So it was a blessing in that it gave you a good place to be creative during COVID.
Good place to hang.
So I want to ask you a little bit about how the Juno Folk Festival and various Alaska venues prepared you for the Seattle music scene.
When I was a kid, my mom would take us all over the place, and she taught my sister and I how to sing harmonies. And so I always had that just sort of ingrained, like just getting on stage and singing and being around musicians. So it's just kind of normal. I think we were just more interested in having fun. running around at the folk festivals just as a kid, just super happy. Actually, we took one road trip down to Seattle and went to Folklife when I was a kid too. And I really remember just being there in that environment around all this music and all these people and just the folksy part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, you had your start in Eagle River. At least that's where your Alaska roots go.
Yes, ma'am. And then I lived in Wasilla for the last 2 years that we lived in Alaska. My family moved from Texas to the Anchorage area right before I was born, the pipeline and all that stuff. And my dad and my brothers built houses. And so there's neighborhoods in Eagle River and around Wasilla, Palmer, that they built every single house in the neighborhoods. Like it was a boom, mid, late 70s into the 80s. And by the mid 80s, that was over. And so we needed to find a new place to be. We ended up in Seattle.
You have now produced an album together, and it's something of a milestone. Did it take COVID to bring the two of you together? Because as musicians, you're so busy with other gigs separately.
It really was a lot to do with that. Like, we've been working together for a while now, but it was always interrupted. Squeeze a song in to produce it and then wait a while until we have the time and squeeze another. So Jeff's highly in demand and he's busy. Normally he plays gigs like several times a week and he tours a lot. This was unique in that we were able to just focus completely on this project. And I'm busy in my own right.
We did a record together before this, but it was just under Tekla's name, and I wanted to make sure that she could do whatever without me. The past decade or so, I've been able to carve out a career for myself as a session touring musician.
One of the things I've noticed from listening to some of your album cuts that you are probably, Jeff, the quintessential sideman, whether it's mandolin or whether it's playing a dobro or a guitar. You seem to have a gift of giving a song just what it needs. So, Tekla, that must be quite a pleasure to have a partner like that in a project like this.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? And I really trust his music aesthetic. We do have to sort of continue to communicate so that we are following a similar path with it. But it's crazy. He's the guy that his utility belt is deep. And now he's making videos that are like insane. Yes.
Well, that's the gig.
I lucked out with this guy.
So on your end, what's it been like to work on this project with your wife, Tekla?
Oh, a pleasure. As soon as we met, even though I kept it at sort of arm's length for a while, because our focus was our relationship and not any sort of music business, because that can get real, you know. And so we wanted to make that the focus. But as this progressed, and especially this year, one thing about Tekla is that she is kind of effortless in a way. Tekla is kind of almost like a cipher, you know, they just kind of come through her. As they were progressing, it was pretty much, I was like, well, this really speaks to the moment. So I think it's important for us to do this as quickly as possible, but also as, you know, soulfully as possible.
The title song is Trouble in Time, and I guess that's what COVID has been, is full of troubles for many of us. Was this album meant to be a time capsule of COVID?
Anytime that we make music, we want it to be sort of timeless in a way. You know, you can listen to Marvin Gaye, something that came out in 1969, and it relates exactly to the way we feel and the way we are doing things, which is telling, but a good jam is a good jam. So we want to make it hopefully something that can, you know, traverse time. But absolutely, I mean, this is what the subject matter of every single song, all 9 songs are about what's happening to us right now, collectively.
So the song was Troubling Times, really, with the apostrophe, troubling. But then Jeff had the suggestion, he's like, you know, what about making it Trouble in Time? And it was kind of a specific reference to Representative John Lewis talking about, let's make good trouble so that we can affect change. So it became that because of his minor tweak, which actually wound up being the perfect kind of title for the whole album, and it just sort of encapsulates the whole vibe of what we were going for. So
another big thing for me is that if we kind of rise above this all and look at it, this is the first real shared experience we've had with the world. I mean, certainly in our lifetimes. So I think that once you talk about this year, this last year, and talk about the, you know, the trouble of it all, then everybody can relate on some level because everybody had to deal with it, everybody in the entire world. So it's very interesting that way.
So let's go ahead and take a listen to Trouble in Time.
Watching days unfold, what each day will hold. It's like a bad dream you can't wake up from. Take a step toward, no ways to reform. The old gods there to pull us back from. Remember unity, remember grace, lead us to a better place. Trouble in time.
From now, 15 years from now, how do you want people to view your new album?
I would hope that no matter when you listen to this album, that you'll have an emotional reaction to it. Well, what I hope for when I make music is that it stirs people in some way. And if it doesn't, then that's okay. I don't expect everyone to like everything I've ever created, but it is a moment in time, and I feel proud that it's got what we were hoping for, that sort of timeless, mellow, easy vibe that talks about a lot of the things that happened this year, or in 2020.
Well, I would just hope that anybody would be listening to it in 10 years. That'd be cool.
There you go.
But also that things like, oh, it was made in 2020, it was done at home, one guy played all the instruments and all that kind of stuff, can be kind of gimmicky. And so that's one thing that was also very intentional, is not to make it sound gimmicky at all. You could listen to it and not think about those type of things.
And it's got soul. It's heartfelt.
Yeah. Because when you listen, I'm not, never to compare myself to anybody, but when you listen to Prince, those early records, he played all the instruments. It just is music, and it's beautiful. It's timeless in a way that's like, you're not thinking about the time it came out necessarily, or the techniques that they used. It just washes over you. And so that's the ultimate goal for any record that I'm involved with.
It's interesting you got your inspiration from John Lewis, who said, go out and make good trouble. Do you think you accomplished that?
Oh. Well,
you know, all that really means is there's a lot of injustices in the world that aren't necessarily illegal, you know what I mean? Or there's a lot of things that you could do in life to make somebody else's life easier that perhaps are looked at as something that you don't want to be doing, causing a ruckus, rocking the boat, that kind of thing. And we're not ones to go out and cause a big stir, but at the same time, it's like, I think it's important for people to speak their minds and stand up for the things that are right. There's right and wrong in this world, and we know what it is. But come on now.
I feel like my thing is to be a witness and to create reflections based on what I witness. And so in that sense, I feel like it was successful. I'm not the one that's going to go out there and be necessarily screaming on the street corner. I will go out and I will be in solidarity, and I will absorb it, and I will create art based on that. That feels like my natural inclination.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Little boy, little boy. Born into this world, didn't ask to be born, didn't ask to be here. Little girl, little girl, lives in this place. Didn't I? struggle.